This is the show that pulls back the industry curtain. We're exploring pop culture, music icons, and food gods. It's the Jeremiah Show, and he's your radio host. And now, back from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
It's the Jeremiah Show and Evolve Entertainment, featuring It's Radio with TV's Tim Stack. Mike Gormley presents Music Icons, The Arwen Lewis Show, and The Angel Baby Show.
Let me ask a question that's been bugging me since the very beginning. Where did the city and city pop come from? Like, where is there, do you know what the, how that name came about? Is it just that they took Western music and then created the music in the city? Or, I mean, that's a very simple question, but
yeah,
simplistic question.
So back in the day, in the 80s, actually, that's when Japan's economy was thriving. It was in a bubble. We call it the bubble era, it was so Japan stood as the globe's second largest economy, and it was poised to challenge the West with its corporate supremacy and cutting edge technology. Everything was booming, and city was the place where, you know, it was cool, and that's where people hang out. And the artists created music for the city, for the people in the city, and that's how the pop music back in the day became city pop.
I knew there had to be an easy explanation.
But yeah, it's simple. It's quite straightforward. That's how city pop, you know, people call it city pop because it was the music that people in the city listened to.
Yeah, and so you were starting to tell me about how it's being revitalized right now.
Yeah, so
I'm back.
And it's all to do with, you know, online web, where people can find new music, old music, rediscover, almost like crate digging, you know, with records. And you search, people start searching, you get recommendations through algorithms, etc. And then, like, something happened in 2017. Until then, people had forgotten, really. Well, the international music scene had forgotten, or had not known about city pop. People in Japan, which I will go on in a minute, people still listened to city pop and created new music that then became neo city pop. But that is another story. But city pop, so what happened to city pop internationally? In 2017, a track called Plastic Love, which was released in 1984, was uploaded on YouTube, and that went viral. It went 70 million streams, or over 70 million streams, and it happens that somebody in the US happened to upload it, and that took off virally. And that was the first time that city pop began to become a revival in the Western world. So it's interesting that what the Western world created that influenced the Japanese is now coming back to the Western world with a new type of, you know, a new generation, new listeners, musicians rediscovering what was created in the 70s, in the 80s.
Would it be similar to sampling in a way, or is it deeper than that?
So it's, you know, because it's been used on TikTok, it's on YouTube, they use the masters, as well as sampling. And interesting on what you just mentioned, you know, four-time Grammy winner, The Weeknd, on his song Out of Time, which was released last year, sampled a city pop song called Midnight Pretenders by Tomoko Aran, which was released in 1983. Now, how the hell did he find that out? I have no idea. But the intro is definitely that song. Mm-hmm. So it'd be great if you can, if we can play that and even compare what Tomoko Aran, the song by Tomoko Aran called The Midnight Pretenders, which was released in 1983, influenced The Weeknd.
Yeah, we're actually going to play that coming up right here in a moment here. Are you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
We're having unstable internet. I apologize, Kimmy. Right. You're in Los Angeles. I'm in Santa Barbara, and got some. There must be a storm coming in here. But yeah, we're going to play that here in just a moment. I'm going to compare and contrast those. You sent those to me, and I loved it. I played them next to each other, and I see what you mean. They're really great. Good examples of city pop. Why do you love city pop? Is this you obviously have a passion for it, and for the artists? Is there something in particular that you really love about it? With you've got an ear for music, obviously. I mean, look at the talent that you've helped along the way and helped develop and pick out. So what is it about city pop that you love so much?
I think, well, it's in one word, I'd say nostalgic. It's remembrance. It's memories. And it feels like you live through that, you know, when you listen to the music. I love listening to oldies, and not just oldies, music from the 70s, 80s. It gives you that nostalgic feeling, even if you had not listened to that music back in the day. It, for some reason, it has that aesthetics that makes you feel that you're back in time and kind of takes you back when you were young.
So and would but isn't that the best part about music? Isn't it that it takes you back to when you're young, or when you were in school, or when you were with some friends, or, you know, your parents growing up, all those different songs out there that have that nostalgia attached to them that instantly, better than a photograph, bring you right back to where you were at that moment. And I love that about music. So we're actually going to go to take a break right now and listen to, do you think if I'm listening to music, new music right now, and I'm trying to identify, or I'm just enjoying it, but then are there certain, like, could you give out two or three city pop, you know, things that make quote unquote rules of city pop that I could go, oh, that's city pop. That's what we talked about on the show. Are there ways to identify city pop?
I think with city pop, it tends to use synthesizers.
Okay.
So it's like that 80s vibe of the synthesizer, the synthetic sound. That's not necessarily live instruments, which is quite typical for, I would say, a city pop music. But yeah, that would be one of the key features, I would say, for a city pop song.
Okay, great. We're actually going to play The Midnight Pretenders, and then we're going to compare that with The Weeknd, Out of Time, which you'd mentioned somehow. The Weeknd found it and incorporated into his song. This is city pop that we're talking about. And we've got, this is a new show that we're doing. Kimmy Kato is your host, and I'm his co-host. He's taken us on a journey through his, you know, through his eyes, through his unique perspective, through his ears, and into the world of not only Tokyo, cities of Tokyo, but into Japan and Asia, and really helping us kind of see it in a new way, see it the way he does, and learn a little something on the way too. I love it. Pop culture, fashion, music. This is my favorite kind of conversation, and we couldn't have anybody better in the world than Kimmy Kato. He is the founder and CEO of Project Asteri. It's a boutique artist management, a label service company in Los Angeles, and he's launched successful international artists, Taylor Swift, Jack Johnson, Ariana Grande, Black Eyed Peas, many, many more. To have your input, your perspective, Kimmy, is just so great. And we'll be right back. But before we take you to break, you're going to hear again Midnight Pretenders. And the artist again was?
Kamoko Aaron.
Okay. And The Weeknd, At a Time. So what do you want them to hear when they're listening to these two back to back, Kimmy?
So Tomoko Aaron's Midnight Pretenders is a music that was recorded and released in 1983. So time has stopped. It stopped at that moment when they finished recording it and it was released. Now, when you listen to The Weeknd, it's brand new song, right? It was released in 2020. It was released in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how The Weeknd has incorporated and kind of revived it to something brand new. And it still hasn't lost that feel, which is something amazing about music, because you can use something like back 30 years ago and still create something that's totally new. So, music, I would always say, is timeless.
All right, here we go. Enjoy. And check out Kimmy Kato. You can go to projectasteri.com, projectasteri.com. We'll be right back.
Touch that dial, because like the song says, you are out of time. You're almost there, but don't panic. There's still more music to come before you're completely engulfed in the blissful embrace of that little light you see in the distance. Soon you'll be healed, forgiven, and refreshed, free from all trauma, pain, guilt, and shame. You may even forget your own name. But before you dwell in that house forever, here's 30 minutes of easy listening. 103.5 Dawn FM.
Like to watch? Subscribe to The Jeremiah Show on YouTube.
Welcome back to the Kimmy Kato Show with me, Jeremiah. I'm co-hosting it, and we're learning about city pop right now. What did we just come in with, Kimmy?
Pardon me?
We're having little technical difficulties. That's fun, though. I love a challenge. We came in just now with Happy End. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. Yes. So Happy End is a band, one of the pioneers of city pop genre. And, you know, where am I? Let me find it. Sorry, just need to find out.
Yeah, it's pretty. I love it. It's got a good fun beat.
Yeah. So, So
you were talking about earlier about the in the '80s when this really started, right? And the Japanese economy was rivaling the U.S. and so there was a lot of purchasing. There was just a lot of buying power. There was a lot of fashion and good food and wine and all those great things. And city pop was like the top of the charts, basically, right? Really kind of and also emphasized that spirit that was there at that time.
Yes, that's absolutely right. So because the economy is thriving, everybody's going out, everybody's having fun, everyone's earning money, you know, everyone's spending money, and you know, everything was just upwards. Obviously that doesn't last that long, but you know, it was that time when city pop was going through, but also seeing the end of that too. So there's always that nostalgic feeling, but Happy End was a band. It was a Japanese folk rock band originally. They were active from like 69 till 72, and the artists were Hiromi Hosono, who then led YMO. It keeps buzzing.
You're a busy guy, man.
Oh, no.
That's a big artist wanting your attention, I'm sure.
Oh, no. Hold on. I'll switch this off. Sorry about that. So the music that they were creating was a pioneer sound regarded as avant-garde at that time. No. They were considered amongst the most influential artists in Japanese music. And really?
Happy End, right? Happy End?
The End, yep. In Japanese, you could Happy End. And I wanted to introduce one of the most famous song from them.
Is that the one that we just came in with?
So I wanted to introduce one of the famous song by Happy End called Kaze o Atsumete, meaning gathering the wind.
I like that. So this is one of the most popular bands in this movie.
Back in the day.
Where are they now?
So everybody's doing different things. Harumi went on to do YMO and with Ryuichi Sakamoto. He's now doing solo stuff.
So then where does Right on Time, where does this band, that's the title.
By a household name in Japan, Tatsuro Yamashita. He's a Japanese singer-songwriter, record producer, who is known for pioneering city pop style of music. His most well-known song is called Christmas Eve, which I was hoping to play during the Christmas time, but it's one of the best-selling single released in Japan in the 80s and still appearing on the Japanese single chart for over 35 consecutive years. It's almost like Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
It just comes back every year at a certain, right after Thanksgiving, right?
Which is why he is one of the most famous singer-songwriter in Japan. But today I wanted to introduce another song called Ride on Time by Tatsuro Yamashita.
Okay, so we're going to listen to that right now, and we'll be right back. This is the Kimmy Kato Show, and I'm his co-host. He's taken over and bringing us really great music and artists that from Japan. Maybe you know of them. Maybe you're learning about them for the first time like I am. We couldn't have a better teacher and a better DJ. Kimmy Kato, music executive, founder, and CEO of Project Asteri. Go to projectasteri.com during the break as you're listening to the City Pop and enjoy. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Up, will ya? There is a lot going on here. Subscribe and always be in the no crowd. Welcome back to the Kimmy Kato Show. I'm Kimmy's co-host on this show. It's a fascinating look at all music, pop culture, art, food, everything to do with Japan and the culture. But today we're talking about music, and we're talking about, specifically with Kimmy, he's talking about city pop. Kimmy, go. I'm going to turn it over to you. This is an incredible conversation.
So, you know, we just talked about how city pop became popular back in the 70s and late 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wasn't going to talk about city pop just to reminisce, you know, the 70s and how great the 70s and the 80s were, even though it was.
Why were they so great for you?
Well, you know, everything was just, everything was colorful for me anyways, growing up. You know, I didn't have to worry about anything because I was a kid, and everything, you know, you saw futures that was bright colors and excitement, and everything was just exciting back then. And I'm not saying that I'm not excited about now and the future. I am very excited about now and the future, which is why I'm on a show with you. And I am really looking forward to what this show is going to become in the future.
Well, yeah, and I get it. I get that feeling when you're a kid at that age. I mean, we're probably similar to the same age, and that feeling of like the whole world is yours to explore, right? Yes. Colorful. The colors are popping.
You know, remember the show called The Wonder Years?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was like that. You know, you watch that show and you go, yeah, that was me. You know, or even go, well, I wish that was me.
You know, we had the creator on a couple shows ago, and he was, they rebooted that, you know, they did a new one. And apparently it's really amazing. I haven't watched it. Have you?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, you know, I was a guy that wanted to be Kevin. Anyways, I'm sad. Yeah, I wanted to chat about, well, why is city pop, and why am I talking about city? So this is a music that was very popular in the late 70s and 80s. And, you know, I mentioned about back then, you know, Japan stood as the world, you know, world's second biggest economy. And everybody, the most Japanese young kids were enjoying the affluent lifestyle and you know, the rise of consumer society. And people, you know, back in the day, we saw movies in the 80s where high school or college students would be picking up their dates in their own cars and, like, you know, Back to the Future. So, well, that kind of thing was happening in Japan and in the 80s. And as our society became more westernized, city pop artists quickly leaped into mainstream. And then what happened? And then I'm talking about why now. So there's this song called Plastic Love, sung by one of the biggest pop singers in Japan called Maria Takeuchi. This song was actually released in 1984 and wasn't that popular when it was originally released, but then suddenly found itself streaming over 70 million times after it was just uploaded online, and with the boost and boosted by a YouTube recommendation algorithm. So
how good is that right now, Kimmy? Because you're in this business. How good is that? That many.
I mean, that's just like
put that into perspective.
Well, that's like digging gold and then back in the 80s and then, oh, sorry, burying gold back in the 80s and then re-digging it and finding the gold. Now, something that's just gone crazy because...
A geyser, you know, of oil.
Yeah, yes, it was gold. Yes, oil, yes. It's almost like, well, because, you know, there wasn't streaming back in the day, so... If it's streaming 70 million times now, it's streaming now. And it's not us that's listening, it's the younger generation, the new generation that's bringing this back to this time. And I think that was one of the first blimp that got city pop kind of noticed in the Western kind of music, or the global music industry, in the music industry world. And through that, then in 2020, the song we played on our last show, Mayonaka no Door, Stay With Me by Miki Matsubara, a song that was released in 1979, shot to number one on Spotify, viral charts, and spread like wildfire through TikTok memes. So it was the internet that's making this whole thing, this phenomenon happen, which is, I think, is completely amazing. Because
how exciting is that for you? And describe what you really do for me, if you wouldn't mind, for the listeners that are still getting to know you a little bit. But in a sentence, what do you do, and how is it? Because I think I know what you do.
I help become stars.
Yeah, star maker. But how do you? Yeah. Am I frozen?
No, you are, but not the screen, not the voice.
No audio. Great. Well, so how excited are you? You're a star maker for musicians and artists. How excited are you that the internet now, you can revitalize a career or take it to a whole different level?
Well, the good thing is I don't have to do it. You know, people do it for us. So that's great. The internet takes an artist from a bedroom to the world. And that's exactly what's happening right now. There's a lot of artists that don't have to have a record deal. You know, they don't have to sign to a major to become an international phenomenon. Especially during the pandemic, I've seen a few artists definitely. And I'm actually currently working with an artist called Jake, spelled JVKE. He's from Rhode Island. He was a singer-songwriter, but you know, he was a singer-songwriter, very talented, but nobody really knew him until during the pandemic. He just put something on TikTok with his mom, who is a music teacher, that went viral. He's now, you know, one of the top singer-songwriters of this age, you know, of his age and his generation, just within a couple of years. you know, a few, I would say a couple of years, but few years.
And how does that compare to when you first got started out in the music business versus now? How does that compare to you to what you would have to do in management and music development and creative?
Right. So nowadays, you know, artists themselves can produce their own music, can release their own music, and be
their fans
by themselves. Right.
Yeah, find their fans and their audience.
Yep.
Overnight. Back
then, obviously, you couldn't do that. You know, you had to have a record deal. You to get your music out, you had to have a record, and you couldn't print your record at home. Mm-hmm. So you had to have a record deal. You had to have an A&R person guide you through recording your music, create your music, unless you wanted to be indie, but that was challenging too. So. But nowadays, you can be indie and be a global superstar. That is what's definitely changed through the internet and has helped artists. But I would say it has also created a specific segmentation into what kind of artist traits you need to become a superstar at this current age compared to, say, 20 years ago.
Because has it caused you to rethink the business? And I have to rethink the business?
Or? Absolutely. Yeah, we all had to. We all had to go through a very challenging time where people weren't buying CDs anymore. You know, we were going through cassette tapes, like cassette tapes, vinyl. You wouldn't download. There wasn't a word called down. You kind of recorded your vinyl onto a cassette tape so that you can use it on your, you can listen to your music on your Walkman because you couldn't carry a vinyl with you. But nowadays you have this little device where thousands of songs is on it, and you don't even have to own it. So that's that was a challenge in the music, definitely a challenge and a big challenge in the music industry, where maybe I would say, like, say 2007, 2008, we were trying to fight piracy.
Right. And now, like you said, you don't even have to own the albums. Anybody you want to find, anybody you want to listen to, you can find and listen to it pretty much for free.
Yeah. So we had to embrace that. You know, with the record labels, with us, we all had to invest in artists. So we had to find ways of generating a return from the investment, but that model actually kind of shattered into pieces almost. So, but still, record labels. So, you know, people even thought that record labels would go away. We wouldn't need record labels anymore, but actually you do, because you still need professional guidance. You still need to understand the business. And if you're up and coming new talent, you have no idea on that front. So you definitely need that support, and record labels tend to be able to help from creation of the music to the distribution and the marketing and PR, so that the music actually gets to the listeners that would eventually become your fan.
But one of the things you're... Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
But the biggest difference now is that the artists could do that themselves, which is created so much freedom to the artist, which I am a true believer of. And if you are capable, one concern is that the artist that has musical talent and also are capable of navigating through the social media have now a better chance of becoming successful, rather than back in the day where even if you didn't know how to navigate yourself in the social media, if you had the right record label and the right team, your music could become a hit. So say if you're a musician artist, you have tremendous talent, but you absolutely had no idea how to sell yourself on the social media or how to navigate and create fan base, you're going nowhere unless a record label finds you. And that is also now difficult because most of the record labels look at you as, and I wouldn't say this in a bad way, you know, how much followers you have or how many listeners you've got. Not entirely because of what you create. So that's changed, but it's all changing. It's always changing.
One of the, I mean, what the conversation where we started here with City Pop, there's also the revitalization and the resurgence and the awareness of City Pop, one of your favorite types of music genres, that they're just come back from the 70s, 80s, and now is seeing this new, a whole new audience has discovered it. So there's also that side, you know, it's positive in a way that's because of the internet. It opens up a world to younger people that weren't living in that time, but now can experience. And then as artists, take that and sample it, right? And create that as well.
I think it seems like even the top global superstars are kind of looking at City Pop as something avant-garde, cool, you know, something different from, because every creator is always looking for something new. When they look for something new, they actually dig in to something old and bring it back to this life so that it actually looks new and sound new. We talked about The Weeknd, sampling a Tomoko Arai's Aaron song. But I have also another one, Harry Styles. You know, Harry Styles, mm-hmm. Harry's House last year, awarded plenty of acclaim, even winning the album of the year at the Grammys. But I don't think many people realize that Harry Styles also took his inspiration from a Japanese pop album that was released 5 decades ago. And crazy. It was from Haruomi Hosono, the band that I was going to introduce, The Happy End, right? So Haruomi Hosono has an album called Hosono House, and Harry Styles is Harry's house. Maybe I'm taking it too far, but
no. But you really need. It's actually very interesting because you almost need, if you're a real music fan, you are. You know where it's come from and you can hear it. And then I love those kind of facts. I don't know. I love to know the layers of the music and what, who's been inspired by what. I think that's very, I don't think it's taken too far at all. Well, we do have to take a break, Kimmy, real quick. We're going to go out with Stay Tuned. You want to tell us much about this band?
Yeah. So just quickly on Harry Styles, he actually tweeted, in March 29th this year, 2023, Harry went to Hosono House, and he said, "Harry at Hosono House in Japan." That's so interesting because he
probably not many people knew what he was talking about, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Obviously, fans wouldn't know, but people who knew Hosono House or know Haruomi Hosono, that's the guy. That's the guy that's literally is one of the legends of Japan in the Japanese music, who molded and created what it is now, the beginning of the pioneer of City Pop. I think I wouldn't say Harry Styles was completely influenced by Haruomi Hosono, but definitely some hint there. I mean, he got some of his hint there, So that's one thing. And then, so the next song I wanted to introduce was The Happy End, one of the pioneers of city pop genre.
All right. Well, let's listen and we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. If you're just joining us now, Kimmy Kato's my co-host. We're doing a show every Thursday. We are going to take a couple weeks off here in December, but we'll be back for sure at the end of December, January. And Kimmy is a music executive. He's a founder and the CEO of Project Asteri. He has, it's a boutique artist management and label service, and they help artists like you listening that to expand, to develop, and expand and be heard internationally, also develop your brand here in the United States. We're talking about Japan. I mean, that's specifically what we're talking about on the show, and premiering Japanese artists that you may not have heard of, and different music genres and styles that are influenced both in Japan and in the United States with some of you, the biggest music artists in the world. It's really a great show, and I hope you guys tune into it every Thursday. We will be right back. I'm calling this the Kimi Kato Show with me as a co-host, Jeremiah. We'll be right back. Seven every time by advertising on the Jeremiah Show and get your message out on seven shows. We're always on the radio.
Before the next great song plays, let's pause to consider all the people who work tirelessly to bring us the music we love. Music Cares is music's leading national charity that provides a safety net of support and crisis relief for the music community. Everyone from musicians to tour managers, sound engineers to designers can rely on Music Cares to provide emergency financial assistance and essential resources in times of need. Find out how you can help at musiccares.org. That's MUSICARES.org.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm with Kimi Kato. Kimi Kato, founder of Project Asteri, projectasteri.com. Go check it out. And just some incredible artists that you have on your label there, or your under your management at the boutique management firm there at Project Asteri. I really feel like I've learned a lot about city pop. And I'm just curious, from your position in the music industry, where do you think it's going?
I think, I think city pop will still continue to be something spicy, something avant-garde, cool. I think people will still continue to incorporate it in their music, which is, I think, it enables artists to become more diversified. I think it's great. And it'll still have that, it will still keep that nostalgic feeling, but in what's happening in Japan is that the young artists that have been influenced by city pop. They are creating their own city pop, and now they're calling themselves the neo city pop, and of the 21st century, right? So yep. There's a new genre in Japan created by these artists who were influenced by city pop, and artists like Satchmos, Von D, Narborich, and I wanted to play Narborich to you again. I played this song last week, but Narborich is a band produced by the leader of the band called JQ. They've been around for a few years, but they tour extensively. The best way for me to explain JQ is like Jamiroquai, and so that's how they operate. They have various musicians coming, going in and out, and their music, they call themselves city pop. They have that funk, they have that rock, soft rock, kind of electronic, soul, jazz style incorporated in their music. Very catchy, smooth vocals. And they just released a new song featuring Benny Sings, and the song's called Just a Game featuring Benny Sings.
Yeah, and we're going to play that now. Well, that's a great way to wrap it up, and I love this song, actually. It's you're going to enjoy it. Narborich, Just a Game featuring Benny Sings. Kimikato, we're going to be doing a lot of shows together every Thursday and exploring the Japanese culture, the music, pop culture, art, food. I'm going to ask a lot of what may seem as like stupid questions, but I want to know, and I'm so fascinated by all of this. It's been a really good hour hanging with you again, my friend, and
likewise,
our next show.
Me too. Thank you so much.
All right, Kimikato, and check out more about what Kimikato does at Project Asteri. He's the founder and the CEO. You can go to projectasteri.com. And without further ado, here is Narborich, Just a Game, featuring Benny Sings. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you. stop you crying in the rain. Maybe it's just a game. Maybe it's just a game. Come on now, baby. So baby, stop you crying in the rain. Maybe it's all a test now. Maybe it's just a game. Maybe it's just a game. Maybe it's just a game.
Hi, this is comedian Maz Jobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show. Who's it, man?
Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify. The Jeremiah Show. Look for the black label. As always, a big thanks to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the air at all. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at jeremiah@thejeremiahshow.com or on Messenger, on Facebook, or Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and me, your announcer, Tony Kelly. Communicate, listen more, and evolve.
My name's Danny Trejo. Jeremiah, your loved Holmes.
You're so cool. You're so cool. You're so cool.